This comes from Doomberg. These are a group of people who do analysis, so I really enjoy their work. And they say, in quotes, if you think the burning of fossil fuels is bad for the planet and should be slowed and eventually stopped altogether, these actions are perfectly fine, even laudable. What is not fine is to expect that the price of oil and by extension gasoline wouldn't go up as a result of these policies. It takes a special kind of stupid to think that crimping supply for a highly inelastic commodity wouldn't spike prices higher, especially as the economy continues to experience an accelerated recovery from the impact of COVID. Ouch. Boy, a little harsh. But really, is it? Given that the EU and especially Germany's energy policy of decommissioning nuclear power and fossil fuel production with no reliable placement power, which then necessitated them buying natural gas, oil, and coal from Russia. Come on, they're sending Putin's regime about $1 billion US a day for resources, principally energy. Now, that's what's financed the Ukraine invasion and left the West with limited policy options because Germany and the EU can't live without Russian energy. But maybe we shouldn't be so smug, given that politicians, divestment academics, most of the media push policies that not only guaranteed higher prices for us, but also play a major role in pushing fertilizer prices through the roof, which has many finally recognizing the risk of global food crisis and maybe the risk of starvation. Now, I'm not debating man's impact on climate or climate change in general. What I am saying that well before the Ukraine invasion, it was obvious the energy transition was not undertaken prudently or thoughtfully with the goal to minimize the human consequence of decarbonizing our energy system. Now, look, I get that accountability is not high on our list of valued personal traits for many, especially our politicians. But our energy policy has been run by people who are more concerned with photo ops, virtue signaling, political gain than with practical policy, which goes a long way to explain why Canada's Commissioner of the Environment, Jerry DeMarco, in his official report to Parliament, stated that Canada has been the worst performer of all G7 nations since the Paris Agreement was adopted in 2015, but maybe arguably the biggest talker. The price of our policies and anti-fuel stance, though, has been huge in terms of losing tens of billions of dollars in government revenue. And this is for a country that our finance minister says can't move the dial on global emissions. I mean, the carelessness and superficiality of people like Mark Carney, David Suzuki, Tides Canada, Chrystia Freeland, Bernie Sanders, I mean, the rest of that Davos Great Reset crowd, well, it's been exposed. And now the US, EU, and Germany are scrambling. I mean, come on, look at President Biden pleading with Saudi Arabia, Venezuela to increase production. You got states like California joining numerous other countries like France, Netherlands, Germany, and doing an about face and now subsidizing the use of gas cars. But it's not just them who floated the climate fairy tale of the decline in the demand for oil and gas with renewables ready to replace them at the ready. No, we let them get away with it. We stood by while they said, we don't need fossil fuels. The transition to wind and solar is easy. All it takes is money and desire. And by we, I include the vast majority of the mainstream media, who for the most part didn't think to even ask the most straightforward fundamental questions like, hey, what's the plan? You know, a plan for things like getting the resources necessary for the energy transition. Now, I'm not going to be popular for saying this, I know, but the question is, have we learned anything? Or does gas have to get to $2.50 a liter? Do a million people have to endure a food crisis before we do a rethink? Because I have my doubts, especially after two decades where ideology has definitely triumphed over scientific method and practical considerations. As Richard Lindzen says, now he's an atmospheric physicist at MIT, published more than 200 scientific papers and books, and is a contributor to the United Nations IPCC reports, states in quotes, when an issue becomes a vital part of a political agenda, as is the case with climate, then the politically desired position becomes a goal rather than a consequence of scientific research. And you know what? I think we're just beginning to live the consequences.